to every one of the seven churches that Jesus addressed in Revelation 2 and 3, he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." I'm so going to suggest you better have good ears this morning, because I don't have a very good voice. Another thing that came to my mind this morning also, I never sat with Reuben during the singing of songs. One day, this brother, his lips are going to be loosed, and he is going to cry hallelujah to his God and his Savior. And his lips will be loosed, and he will sing the most beautiful praises around the throne. And I'm going to say, in a sense, like none of us ever have, nor ever hope to, because we don't understand his situation. I wish that he had the sign language for you. I wish I knew it. I love you, brother. He doesn't see it now. He doesn't pay attention to that. That's love.
I love you.
Love you. Well, good. I got that across. It takes courage. To be just like everybody else in this world, it takes no courage whatsoever. You're just blending in. That doesn't take any effort whatsoever. Go along with the crowd. When we look in Joshua 23 and verse 6, Jack read it out of the ESV. In the New King James Version, instead of saying strong, it says, be courageous. Be courageous. And I'll tell you, to be a child of God, it takes courage. It takes courage. When we look back and we think about it, it took courage to be Jesus' apostles. This was not to be taken lightly. Jesus had prophesied before that they would be hated for his name's sake. If the world hates you, John 15, 18 through 21, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. And because of that, it would take no courage whatsoever. When we look at this, all but one showed courage in being an apostle for Christ Jesus. Judas chose to be like those of the world and would not take on that mantle of courage that was assigned to being an apostle of Christ Jesus. We see in Acts 4, verses 18 through 20. So they called them, that is the Sanhedrin, called Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard." That took courage. In the face of death, they stood before those that were in power, in authority, not only of the government, but also of the religious rule of the time. And they went against those things because they were courageous in service unto their God. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, Paul says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him which is the head, Christ." And then he adds to that, when we look in Galatians 4 and verse 16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" It's not easy to speak the truth. And these apostles went out and they spoke the truth with courage. The things that cut to the heart, of which some took that and caused their deaths, and others took that and caused obedience unto God. It took courage to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. And there were those, of course, that want to have rule, and without any pushback, such as Diotrephes in 3 John verses 9 and 10. And John the Apostle says, "I will take care of him when I come." And that took courage. He could have just said, like everyone else, "Well, everybody has a different viewpoint. No, I will take care of that situation when I come with Diotrephes. He loves preeminence." It takes courage to be an elder. When we look over 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3, shepherd the flock. That takes courage just itself right there. That shepherd the flock is not talking about just pushing a flock where it wants to go, but rather in leading the flock, but also in nourishing and taking care of the flock, protecting the flock. All that is contained within the aspect of being a true shepherd, an elder in the Lord's church. It takes courage. Titus 1 verses 9 through 11, after giving the qualifications for elders, Paul tells Titus, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that is those that would be qualified to be elders, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. That doesn't make friends in this world today. But it takes courage to do that. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. It has to be addressed. And that takes courage. Well, we might run some people off, would be the thought of some elders today. Yes, that might be the case. Some might leave. They're not obedient to the Lord and cause strife and division in congregations. And they recognize then by the grace of God, God will provide for the congregation even if all the money leaves. God will provide. It takes courage to do that. Shepherd, that tending the flock, that is caring and watching over the flock. It takes courage. Holding fast the faithful word, as we see, that may be able to convince and convict the gainsayers. That takes courage to do that. It takes courage to be a deacon. When we look over in Acts 6 and verse 3, and I realize, and you may even disagree with this, I don't believe that the seven that were named at this time in Acts the 6th chapter were deacons as we think of them, but they were servants. An exemplary of what a deacon is. And that's the point that I'm trying to make with this. Seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. And he's not talking about that which is miraculous, but he's talking about being filled with the Spirit, having that spiritual attitude, that they were appointed over that business. And we understand then in 1 Timothy 3, 8, and 9, when it talks about those that are under the so-called office of deacon or those that seek that work or are recognized for that work, that they must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. And that takes courage. Because there are so many different doctrines that are being taught in the world today. They're trying to turn Christians away from the Lord, to follow after them, to salve the consciences of those that do not want to serve God. And deacons, they must stand for that truth, including matters not only physical but also spiritual matters that we see in Acts 6, 9, and 10. And so there were those that they cared for. And I'm going to suggest to you that not only was Stephen and the others caring for them physically, there was a care that was spiritual there also, because Stephen was also doing the work for the Lord, as we see in verse 10 of Acts 6. That those that he was debating with were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. It takes courage to be a deacon. It takes courage to serve, to give self up. Whether it be that which is physical or that which is spiritual, it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to be a preacher. I'm not talking about someone that stands, and it applies to them in a sense, not that just stands in the pulpit from time to time. But I'm talking about those that are really involved in the work, and that is their work. That is what they are doing. There was, and I wish I still had it, a brother that sent me a write-up that he had seen somewhere. And he said, years 1 through 5 in a preacher working with a congregation is like the honeymoon. And everything's grand and great. And then whenever there are things that need to be addressed, well, then there becomes dissatisfaction. When things need to be addressed, well, then realities hit. When things need to be addressed because the truth may be suffering in a locale, then comes the cry, give us another one. Get rid of this one. When we look at a preacher, 1 Timothy 1 verses 3 through 7, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, Paul tells Timothy, remain in Ephesus, you may charge some that teach no other doctrine. And so there you have the charge that is given. That is not popular by some today, that to hear that their thoughts and ideas are not in accord with God's will. And then, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification. And then as we come on down, we see, of course, in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, the charge that Paul gives to this young preacher. Preach the word. Preach the word. Not to salve the consciences, not to please people, but to present God's word, to make sure that it's understood. And the reason being he gives as you go on down to verse 4, for they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your work, your ministry, Paul tells Timothy. It takes courage to do that. Courage to stand before a group of people that need to hear the truth but sometimes don't want to hear the truth. That's the in season, out of season that Paul talked about here in 2 Timothy 4 chapter verse 2. There will always be those in congregations that want to hear the truth, I believe, but there will be those also that do not want to. The truth cannot be compromised because it takes courage to be a preacher. It takes courage. It takes courage to be a Christian these days. There's pushback from the world continually. There is name calling. There is demeaning of those that are people of faith. And whether they realize it or not, those that demean people that are people of faith are actually people of faith themselves. It's not in the faith that comes from God. They have their own faith and their own trust. And so we see, as Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's not a might or a maybe. It will take place. It's a good barometer for each and every one of us to see whether or not our courage is there to stand for Christ Jesus, to stand for His truth, to stand for the Word, to stand in the power of His might. It's a good barometer to us. Have we ever been in any way, shape, or form persecuted for being a Christian? If we say no, we have an answer from the barometer. There's something wrong. There's something wrong in your life. If you say yes, you're on the right track. And it takes courage for that. Being courageous in all situations. Romans 12, verse 9 through 21. Daryl, read that for us if you would.
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer.
Stop there for just a moment. You think about this, and we may not tie in courage with this, but it takes courage. Let love be without hypocrisy. That takes courage. You have someone that you care deeply for, maybe even a family member, and they're not living in accordance with God's will, and it takes courage to say, I'm worried about your soul, and here's the reason why, in accordance with God's will. And I believe that you are straying, you are stumbling, or you are not in relationship with the Lord. That takes courage. You're those that don't have courage to do that. We'll let the Lord take care of it. Well, He has taken care of it. He's given the Word. And so from there He says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And that is outdoing one another in showing honor to each other. And that takes courage. That takes courage. Not lagging in diligence. That takes courage. Not being slothful in our work and service unto God as children of God. That takes courage to do that. Because it's a commitment. Fervent in spirit is being courageous. That we stand for the truth. Serving the Lord. Not men, not as pleasing men, nor tickling the ears of men, but rather speaking that truth. Verse 12, dear.
Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributed to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse.
Stop. That takes courage. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. The easy thing to do is to strike back. But here he says, I believe, is the true courage. That we bless those who are against us. Verse 15, Bill.
Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep.
Stop. Feeling the pain of others takes courage. We have some of our members who have just lost a loved one, a family member. He was loved by all. He was loved especially by family. And it takes courage to weep with those that are weeping, that are mourning at this time. And we need to show that courage. And we need to feel their pain. And then we need to respond to that pain by, what can I do to help? And we need to respond to that pain by, you have a gracious God. And don't ever forget that. Go ahead, Daryl.
Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion.
Stop there for just a moment. It takes a great amount of courage to not press one's own opinion. It takes a great amount of courage to listen to others. It takes a great amount of courage also when we listen, if we find ourselves in the wrong, to say, I was wrong. I was wrong. That takes a great amount of courage. There are those that cannot do that. They just will not do that. Because to them it's a sign of weakness. Rather than the way that God looks at it, it's a sign of strength. Daryl.
Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all. As it is possible, as much depends on you, live peacefully with all men.
Stop right there. As much as it depends upon you, there's the courage in living peaceably with others. Well, do you know what that person did to me? No, as much as lies within you. Well, do you know how they treated me? No, as much as lies within you. Do you know what they said? No, it's as much as it lies within you. There's the courage. There's courage. Go ahead.
Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Heaping coals of fire upon his head. There it is. There's our vengeance right there. No. What is showing, is being shown here, of course, is living in such a way where those that are against us are actually shamed by our meekness. And that takes courage. God will do the repaying. It's not ours. We're not the judge. God will take care of that. He will take care of any vengeance that is necessary and just. We heap coals of fire upon them to show the shamefulness in the way that they're not looking unto God and treating God's children. Being a child of God is not for the faint of heart. Wayman, would you read that?
Being a child of God is not for the faint of heart. Hebrews 13:6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Joshua 23:6. Be courageous. We sing a song from time to time. We haven't sung it in a while. Be strong and courageous. Well, how in the world can we do that? Because we have the God of heaven. We have a Savior that has taken away fear. We talked about that this morning in our class. By the sacrifice that He made upon the cross, by that resurrection that He accomplished for us. There is no fear in life anymore. Not when we're looking unto the Lord. What will man do to me? Not one thing. It's a rhetorical statement that's made, question that's made here with that answer that is given. Not one thing. We can be courageous because of Christ Jesus. Romans 8 and verse 31. Oscar.
What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Oh, I've got to take care of a situation. Well, I'm attacked. I've got to make sure that I take care of it. No. God will take care of us. And it doesn't matter what man may say. God is the one that will take care of us. Romans 8, 35 through 39, Warren.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it's written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
It may be in this country one day, it takes courage to walk through those doors to come in and here to worship our God. It may be in this country one day where that's not even possible that we walk in unless there is a slaughter. But that we continue to worship our God in places that are unknown to the enemy. It's happened before. 2,000 years ago. You see the fish on the back of vehicles? That emblem that is there? Do you know where that came from? It came from the Christians who were under persecution by Rome to give direction to where God was being worshipped. And where the fish's head pointed, they would follow it, and they would go until it was time to turn. They would see another emblem that would turn a different direction, and they would come to a door, and there it would be. We may come to that point. Will we be courageous enough to do that, or will we just say, well, we don't need to worship. God knows that we love Him. No. No, that's not being courageous. We must continue to do the Lord's will, even in the face of slaughter. Do you have the courage to be a Christian? Look at Revelation 2, verses 10 through 11. Oscar. Did you already read, Oscar? Then Brandon, I'm sorry.
Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death.
2,000 years ago, Jesus addressed the congregation and told them, you will be persecuted. You will suffer affliction because of my name's sake. And yet he tells them, be courageous, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. We look at that today. That just cannot happen now, not 2,000 years later. We live in a society that is better educated, that do not have the bloodthirstiness of those civilizations back then. It's different now. I'll suggest to you, I'll submit to you, not one thing has changed. There are those that are out there that are in the world that would kill every Christian, man, woman, and youngster, for their own cause, and think that they are doing some sort of obeisance unto their God, that's little g. And they would do that right now. And we're living in a time in which it's going to be, I think, coming shortly. And that's relevant. Where the true child of God will be shown by their courage. We think about this. And it takes courage to be a Christian, to be a child of God. And the question is, do we have that courage? Will we stand up against that which is not in accordance with God's will? Will we stand up to those that try to demean our God? Will we expose doctrines that are not in accordance with God's will, as Paul told those of Philippi to do? Expose those things. Will we do that? Or will we say, we'll leave it to someone else? And again, let me submit this to you. There is no one else other than Christians. Do you have the courage, first of all, if you're not a Christian, to become one? Easy road? No. Liked by all? No. Accepted by all? No. Accepted by the Lord? Yes. And He's the only one that can save. If you wish to be baptized for remission of your sins this morning and start that walk of courage, we will urge you to do that. And then those of us that are Christians, do we have courage? The usual statement made by those that are friends and family, especially family, I think, I don't want to say anything that will drive them further away. How far is further away from the Lord if you're already not with Him? How do you know that by planting the seed of God's Word in telling them you are lost in your sins? How do we know that that seed at some point in time will not sprout? You see, there it goes back to having courage to trust in God and His Word and not in our own wisdom. Let us be true, courageous children of God. If we can help you in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.